All right, welcome to the Grace Hour. This is a Christian program, and we talk about daily things, daily challenges, to learn about our faith in a deep and practical way. And this is a Memorial Day show, special show. You won't be posting any comments or calling in today, but Pastor Ronaldo Brown and myself, Pastor Steve Androlonis, will be talking about a significant subject, wisdom. We've got several books of the Bible that are devoted to this important element of spiritual life. What does it mean to be wise? Proverbs tells us a lot about it. Also, Ecclesiastes. And you know, there's wisdom in the Psalms. All through the Bible, there's wisdom, of course. But really, you know, we'll probably start off talking about these books that are called wisdom literature. Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and then Song of Solomon. Sit back, relax, enjoy. We hope you're enjoying your holiday here in America. It is a holiday. Some of you are probably working, but if you tuned in today, we got a good discussion here for you to talk about this thing, wisdom. It begins with the fear of the Lord, and a person who really has great fear of God is Pastor Ronaldo. So we'll let him kick off what we're talking about today.
Good reason to fear him. Oh, God, in the reverential sense. But
in
not
the reverential sense,
yes,
that's what I'm
not
saying.
The other
we got to talk. We got to define fear.
Yeah.
There's
these days,
fear is a sense of holy awe. That's the way I look
it
at it.
Thank you. He said it right. I was really thinking, I like the way the week is beginning with wisdom, and I like the way this theme on wisdom begins. First of all, it begins with something that's outside of us, because most of us seem to think of wisdom as something that we can produce, we can have, that comes from us. And James chapter 3 makes a great dichotomous relationship between wisdom from above and wisdom from below. And in Christian circles, but even outside of the church, we look for how to get wisdom, how to express wisdom, how to demonstrate wisdom. But I was thinking about this, and this is a great question. Sometimes wisdom is personified. Who is wisdom? Mm. Who is wisdom? Sometimes wisdom is presented as a person, not so much a skill, not so much an attribute, not so much an ability. Because in the world, wisdom is an ability. When someone does something that appears to be profitable, you say that guy is wise. And there's in the family of wisdom, there's discernment, there's prudence, there is insight. Mm. All those words are related to wisdom. But I would love to think today about who is wisdom? Who is wisdom? Because when you say that word to the natural mind, it's unreasonable. When you say that word to the natural mind, who is wisdom? It almost sounds wrong. You say, who is wise? Even Paul right. says, who is wise? Who is wise? But who is wisdom? Because wise speaks about a characteristic of someone, but who is wisdom speaks about a person. And we see this in Proverbs. We see wisdom being personified as a woman, and there's a lot of reasons for that. You see it in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 20 to 33, Proverbs chapter 8, all the way through to the middle of Proverbs chapter 9. You see this woman. And it talks about if you listen to her, if you heed her words, you shall have prosperity, wealth, and life. Mm-hmm. And then when you see someone who has these things in life, you say, okay, they're wise. But the way Proverbs brings it out, it kind of makes it like it's a person. Like I'm listening to a person. Because I listen to the person, I'm wise. So I'm listening to wisdom and I'm becoming wise. A lot of times, a lot could be said about why does Solomon choose to pick a woman? But when you look at the Hebrew language, oftentimes, just like with French and other languages, femininity or masculinity is not assigned based on identity. It's based upon character. Like, okay, like a car in Spanish is male. A guitar is feminine. But it has nothing to do with the literal gender. So when we speak about the personification of wisdom as a woman, it's not necessarily saying that women are wise, even though they can be. But it doesn't mean that a man can't be wise. But the source here seems to be a person. So when I think about my relationship with God, I can pray to God and say, give me wisdom. But I want to also think on a deeper level, I want to know wisdom. Don't just give me wisdom. I want to know wisdom. I want to know the source of wisdom. There's a verse in my life, I think I pray it weekly, if not daily. James chapter 1, 5 and 6, he that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Notice where you go for wisdom. You go to God. And then it says in verse 6, it says, let him ask of faith. Let him ask of God. Wisdom is of God, but on a deeper level, wisdom, God is wisdom. God is wisdom. He is, when we say who is wisdom, we could also say who is righteousness. We could also say who is power. We could say who is holiness. Now, when I say who is holiness, you have no problem with that, that understanding. Okay, you're speaking about God. Or you say, who is righteousness? Of course, we're talking about God. But when I say who is wisdom, we struggle with that. Because it doesn't fit into my understanding of what wisdom is. My natural understanding can confuse me and say, no. Wisdom is not a who, but holiness is a who? Righteousness is a who? It is a who. The question is, who is wisdom? Who is wisdom?
Well, I think we would say that because if we go to John 1, we know that the Word was made flesh. Yes. So we would say Jesus was walking wisdom. Wisdom walking, like talking. That. And I think this says something. I talked to our mom's group.
Okay.
And I had this thought in my mind, and so I just went with it. It's like we talk about sin in Genesis 2, 3. We have two trees. We have the tree of life. We have the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when we think about it, you know, in Proverbs, there's a proverb that says, wisdom is a tree of life. And so we know that it's personified because I think this is really pointing to the big, the big reveal, which is Jesus incarnated. And then also the big reveal after Jesus incarnated, Jesus is one of three persons of the Godhead. So as we are drawn into wisdom in the Old Testament, this this progressive revelation of God is teaching us intimacy because we are intimate, like we are talking.
Right.
You and me are old friends from the day you were a teenager. And so we've known each other for a long time. And that has been, you know, it's been, we've had exchanges and conversations. And so it's personified. Our relationship is personified face to face. And I think that's the, we go through Psalms and we see this face to face, you know, I want to behold your face in wisdom. We want to behold God's face. So I think that's the real personification is just in the Old Testament anyway, is to bring us to an understanding of the true personification that was the flesh and blood of Jesus. And then, so tree of life is exchange intimacy, but tree of knowledge is a collection of data. It's not called the tree of wisdom.
Right.
It's called the tree of knowledge. And that is like, maybe we could say wisdom or not wisdom, but data, just on its own, divorced from a personal relationship. At the tree of life, I think, you know, we can make complaint known.
Yes.
You know, in the tree of life, that's been our relationship. We've had words about things that we didn't agree on, and then we get beyond it, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Exactly. So that's relationship. So, but over here, it's just data, and it's good, good, good. But then on the other side is evil. It's like all the data is categorized this or that, pro, con, pro, con. Over here, it's like it's you and me. And over here, it's pro and con. And I just think that's why, you know, Song of Solomon, the Book of Wisdom, there's like a multitude of plants and animals. Everything is about life. Everything about the marriage there, that relationship is about the thrill of life, the thrill of intimacy, and then also the thrill of all of life. So What say ye?
That's great. You hit the nail on the head. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, Jesus is the fountain of all wisdom, but he's more. He's wisdom itself. In him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hid away. So oftentimes, I want wisdom from God like it's something I take away from God, but it's really a byproduct of my relationship with God.
Wow.
See, knowledge... Yeah. Knowledge is the investigation and the instruction about God. But wisdom is really about the byproduct of my relationship with God. So why is, we could say spiritually, why is someone wise? He's wise because he's in a relationship with wisdom. Now it takes the Holy Spirit to draw out that wisdom. The same Holy Spirit who uncovers the knowledge is the same Holy Spirit who multiplies the knowledge in a practical way into wisdom. Now, I've kind of broken it down like in three steps here. There's knowledge. God instructs me about who he is. There's perception that I get from the Spirit about who he is. And then there's wisdom, which is the application about the perception that I've learned about who he is. But it all begins with him. So wisdom is a who, and we get wisdom because we the revelation of who to us in a personal way is expressed in a wise way, in a personal way, in a practical way. And so sometimes we misapply what wisdom is. We say, okay, well, wisdom is what he has wisdom. No, he has an expression or revelation of the source of wisdom, which is God. Same with holiness. You could say, okay, this guy is holy. Is he? Or is he reflecting the holiness of God that he has access to in a relationship with God? So then he's holy. And unto the pure, all things are pure because of the relationship we have with the purity of God. But in and of himself, that means I can't produce wisdom. And when I think about it in James 1, 5, and 6, when I ask of wisdom, what I'm really asking for, I'm asking for an expression of God's direction in my relationship with God. And the fruit of that, that's wisdom. So oftentimes, wisdom doesn't look like wisdom. It's just me expressing the source of wisdom, which is Jesus Christ. And I like how you said it. There's this intimacy going back and forth in my relationship with God. How am I more wise? He grew in wisdom. Really? How do you grow in wisdom outside of a relationship with God? It's in the relationship as you grow with God, which is wisdom, you will reveal and express wisdom. You will reveal what you're connected to, what you're growing in. If I have a relationship with evil, I will express that and grow in that. But I want to take away wisdom. I want to get away from wisdom just being a skill. Just being an application or a characteristic. And I want to get into it as more of the person of Christ. And you hit the nail on the head with that. Like, okay, Jesus Christ. Like, when I think about how does wisdom relate to the person of God, it is God. It is God. Christ said it himself in Luke 11:49. Jesus Christ called himself the wisdom of God.
Yeah.
Now, you hit it. I like the way you hit it when you said Christ was the complete revelation and manifestation of witness. It was a complete impartation of what wisdom is. It was a progressive revelation. We were hearing about it in the Old Testament. When you read Proverbs, especially Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, and those two books speak about wisdom more than any other book in the Bible. Those two books, Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, I think it might be mentioned 40 or 50 times.
Yes.
A lot of wisdom. You get two thoughts. The first thought you get is that wisdom is attainable. But what's interesting about Proverbs is the attainability of wisdom is always through a relationship.
Yes.
So it's attainable. But then you get this other side in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, especially Ecclesiastes, where wisdom is unattainable because of your relationship naturally. So because of my natural relationship and the frailty of who I am, wisdom is unattainable. But because of a different relationship, a divine relationship, wisdom is attainable. So man is walking with these two, this do and this don't, this good and this bad, this attainable, this unattainable. And then comes Jesus Christ. And Christ says, in spite of what could hinder you from having wisdom, let me give you what will give you the access to wisdom. I'm not going to give you advice. I'm not going to give you direction. I'm not going to give you guidance. I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you wisdom. When it says we have wisdom, we have Christ. Like it says in 1 Corinthians 2:16, you have the mind of Christ, right? So we're not getting the mind of Christ. We have received the mind of Christ as far as God's character and nature expressed to us. And then we walk in that in Philippians 2:5. It's the same thing with wisdom. So when I'm being wise, it's not really something that I get from God that I don't have, because I already have the relationship. wisdom is in the relationship. I think sometimes people want to cultivate the skill of being wise outside of a relationship with God. So if I get back to the who, then in every situation, as I walk with the who, I'll walk in wise.
That's really, I think, this expression of wisdom, like you said, as a relationship with a woman, it's like, you know, why would Solomon use that illustration?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, he knew a lot about women. We don't have to rehearse that. And how many women he had in his life. But we see that there's a couple of women that are prominent. One is the strange woman, the woman of folly.
Yes.
That leads to death, destruction, bad choices, these kind of things, taking you out of the way of wisdom. And then there is Lady Wisdom, and she promises blessing. Who do you romance? Who do you embrace? And this is like you're making these points very well. It's like, we really don't know wisdom outside of having a relationship. And that ultimate relationship is the Holy Spirit in us, shedding the love of God abroad in our hearts.
Yes.
And that is really, it all comes back to this kind of intimacy with God, this connection with God, and data, information, we can collect it, we can categorize it, we can print it out, we can put it on many, many, many screens, but it doesn't really make us what we're supposed to be. It doesn't become, what is it? When you eat a good meal,
yes,
there's several things happening. We smell it.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. We enjoy the fragrance. Then we enjoy the taste. We taste and see that it is good.
Mm.
We eat it, and then that is transformed. That food is transformed into something inside of our bodies. And I think God has prepared a great banquet, a variety of entrees and different kinds of food for us in different categories. We got all of these things, and we taste and see that it's good, and then as we think about it, remember Pastor used to use that word, mastication.
Yes.
I don't know if that, I remember that word, but it is like when you think about something, Pastor Stevens, founder of the Grace Hour, that's who he is, if you're wondering there, if it's your first time with our podcast today. But that is you're digesting that, and it's transformed into something for the whole body.
Yes.
So wisdom partaken of and then meditated on, digested, becomes like a strength for our person individually as we are living in the person of Christ who we've been made complete in Him.
Yes.
That's
I love that. I love the way that you talked about knowledge is just investigation about God.
Yes.
And the unregenerate man can investigate God. I mean, it might bring them to God, but unless there's an intimacy, you don't really know. It's like, okay, I'm going to investigate that person over there. But outside of intimate contact, I'm not going to really know them. And intimacy is not enough. Event intimacy is not enough. It has to be relational. Extended intimacy is relationship. And it's got to be extended. So there's got to be, I can't just gather knowledge about God and be wise. I can be knowledgeable, but I won't be wise. I was thinking about this. We've talked about Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, about two books in the Old Testament that talk so much about wisdom. You know what book really speaks, what group of books speaks the most about wisdom really in the New Testament? The Gospels.
Yeah.
They don't use the word.
No.
But Christ is, as wisdom, constantly reveals wisdom to us. I would say the concept or the precept of wisdom is most described in the New Testament is in the Gospels. When you study the life of Christ, you see a life of expressed wisdom.
Yes.
And what is the foundation of his wisdom? This is where it gets interesting. It's his relationship with his Father. The extension of his relationship with his Father is the manifestation of wisdom in his entire walk. He mentions his Father 26 times. He's like, I only say what my Father says. I only think what my Father thinks. I only go where my Father goes. And all the Spirit is doing is just leading him in where his Father is directing him. So to go into the wilderness and be tempted by the devil is wisdom. because it's a byproduct of his relationship. It would not be wise to men, right? But the foolishness of God is wisdom to men, and the foolishness of men is wisdom to God. So it doesn't make sense to go into the world, but that's wisdom. That is the and when he gets in the wilderness, what does he tap into? He expresses wisdom in the presence of Satan in the desert. He expresses wisdom.
That's true. Yeah, because he answers every single time with the word of God.
Yeah,
word applied.
Word applied.
In conflict.
Yeah.
Word applied in conflict, warfare going on. Jesus does it.
Wow. And that's wisdom. And we wouldn't think about that like that. We wouldn't look at the Gospels as wisdom books. They're not poetic enough, obviously. It's a different genre. But still, if Jesus Christ is the perfect divine revelation, I like the way you said it earlier, of what wisdom is personified. If Christ is wisdom personified, the books that speak the most about him would be the greatest revelation of what wisdom is. Though they don't use the word, there is the revelation through his character of what wisdom is.
And just, if we're going to unpack any of the, that's an interesting word. But if we're going to take any of the parables, we can see, the way that Christ uses, the things of the earth, the things that he created. His creation is woven into the dynamic of truth. Mm-hmm. And how is, it's going to require some understanding again of like relationship.
Yes.
Like, the parables, they're designed for shock value, I think, in some people, for people who are like not ready to hear something like that. For people who are prepared, whose hearts are good soil, when that seed is cast there, it's like it takes root and it's like it's in there. But when, we're using a parable to describe how Jesus uses parables, but this is the whole nature of thing is that, like you're saying, the Gospels express, the way of God in our life, because we know that, Jesus came, he lived as one of us, to experience everything that we experienced. And then now he sits as the great high priest. This is Hebrews 4:5 gets into it. Hebrews 4 at the end, it says, but at the Hebrews 4 at the end, it says, about the great high priest that he has been touched by the feelings of our infirmity. He has been tempted such as we have been tempted, yet without sin. Mm. So, like in the wilderness, the devil comes.
Yes.
And Christ applies the truth. And, he is wise. He is wise about every answer he gives. And we see that every time he is in a situation, he's wise about every answer he gives. The biggest maybe is like, maybe we should practice this sometimes. Hmm. When he's being attacked by the Pharisees and they're saying, we're going to ask you, tell us by what authority you do this. Hmm. And Jesus answers that with a question. Okay, well, you tell me, John the Baptist. How do you see? What authority did he have? And it froze them.
Yes.
Like it was like, Jesus could played their own game against them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jesus is walking, talking, living the word of God. If my words abide in you, that's a big thing.
Yeah.
And Jesus, Jesus was the abiding word. Jesus was the walking, talking, living book of the Bible, and everything he did was an expression of wisdom. Hey, this is the Grace Hour podcast, the Grace Hour show. We've got a few more minutes to go. Thank you for joining us, Pastor Ronaldo Brown. I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. Happy Memorial Day to you. You're listening to this on Memorial Day. And again, if you miss any part of this, you can go to Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and others to hear the whole thing. We aren't taking calls or any questions today, but we're just discussing this great topic. And through the week, wisdom will be discussed about in its various ways. And we're talking about the beginning of wisdom. We get to start and go all over the place because we're talking about the beginning of wisdom.
With a head start. Like it. I really like this idea when you ask the question, who is wisdom? Whenever you hear who, you think another person.
Yes.
Another person, which automatically requires the mindset of relationship. Okay, so you think you have a bad relationship with God. Okay, that means I can't have wisdom? No. God doesn't remove that from you. You can make decisions against God. But if you're in a relationship with God, you always have access to God. And I really think that's what James 1:5 is talking about. It says, when you lack wisdom, ask of God. Engage in your relationship. Mm. Engage in your relationship. I just like this idea of my relationship with God produces wisdom in my life because I'm related to the source of wisdom. I'm related to wisdom incarnate. Jesus Christ is wisdom incarnate. As we said earlier in John 1:1 and John 1:14. And then he demonstrated that. If you look at his life, in the Gospels, he was constantly revealing, like you said, unique manifestations, never before seen. Some of the things that Christ did, there's prophecy, and it was prophesied he would do, and then there's things that were completely different. They were way off the charts, and they had no idea what they were what they were looking at. They were looking at wisdom. They were confounded by wisdom, the person of wisdom. Christ walked in wisdom. If he never sinned, if he never had a thought disconnected from his Father outside of the Spirit, impeccability, then he had access to wisdom all day.
That's true. Yeah. When we think about that, I and the Father are one.
Gets
he
it.
Made this declaration. Gospel of John, so important.
Yep.
You're right. This really, Jesus did not, he told the people, he said, you think I'm speaking from my own human vantage point?
Yes.
He said, I am a human being, but what I'm getting is coming straight from my Father. And so he didn't even as a human being, a virgin born of a virgin human being, even though he's a miraculous child.
Yes.
And the fact that he's in our world is, but even living in that kind of limitation, mm-hmm. if we could say it that way, I think we have to, because
yeah, we have to.
Hebrews says he was made a little lower than the angels for a space and time. Yeah. So we don't think, and like going back to what you raised, the issue you raised about the wilderness and the confrontation there, we see Jesus refusing to operate in a, what's the right word, in a fantastic way, or mm-hmm. a Marvel Comics kind of way. Okay,
yes.
You want me to turn that stone into a loaf of bread? Shazam, I'm not going to do it. He didn't do it. I mean, that's like, the thing is that if he does it that way,
yep.
then we can't like really say that he knows the way that we live, because mm-hmm. when he was hungry, he could just snap his fingers and bread is there.
Yes.
Now, when he was feeding 5,000, he's thanking the Father,
mm-hmm.
and then everything multiplies.
Mm-hmm.
But in that moment in with Satan, the ultimate selfish being,
yes.
Jesus is going to show, I'm not going to do something selfish. I'm not going to throw myself down to create like some sort of miracle scene.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to turn this into bread, and I'm certainly not going to bow down to you to get what's already mine.
Yes.
Okay, you have control for this space of time, mm-hmm. devil. And yes, you feel that you can give this to me, but let's just really recognize the Father is the one who's really in charge, and I'm here. And it's like, this is like so important to, and this is the great miracle, I think, of the person and the incarnation, is like when we realize in totality who Jesus is as God, and
yes.
the fact that he never exercised his privilege,
mm-hmm.
his privilege as God, in a selfish way to magnify his human being. His human being would be glorified coming out of the grave, but he would not magnify his human being by doing something that other human beings could not do.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, like I cannot turn stone into bread.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot do that. I cannot cast myself off the Bay Bridge and let angels catch me.
Right.
You know, none of those things could happen. And Jesus just, Jesus, you know, lived this. This is the perfect. This is, you know, people don't realize how miraculous this is, because
right.
Satan, as glorified as he was, as Lucifer, could not get out of his own way and became selfishly ambitious and led this rebellion. So that happened. And then man and woman in the garden, when they were presented with the idea of becoming self-centered, they took the bait, hook, line, and whatever fruit they had there. Now Jesus is walking through with all of this stuff at his command, and he's got to go step by step as a human being from birth to death. And that's like, when we think about the multitude of decisions, what did you said it earlier, the multitude of decisions that he had to make over the course of his human life. This is the greatest miracle that like, 'cause if I have a, I've done this, I'm sorry, this is true confessions. I've driven my wife's stepfather, his car with the, what is it called?
Siren?
No, the handicap.
Oh, the handicap. Oh, my goodness.
And guess what I did? I've done it once, and then my heart smote me. I didn't do it ever again. But like, I pulled into a handicap spot, and I think I came out and saw somebody looking for a spot, and I'm like, going, can't do that. But I took that privilege. Okay. It's imagine Jesus carrying all the power of God around him.
Yes.
And he says this. That's why he says it in when Peter slices the ear.
Yep.
He says, I got 12 legions at my disposal.
Yes.
But the word of God must be fulfilled.
Isn't it interesting how, and I guess we don't see it, we see it now.
Yeah.
How wise he was in his restraint.
Yes.
I mean, and I think it says, Luke chapter 2, verse 40 says that he was filled with wisdom and he grew. Now, in his divinity, he didn't grow in wisdom because he was wisdom. But then when you get to like Luke 2:52, it says he increased in wisdom. If he is wisdom, how does he increase in wisdom? In his humanity, he grew in the progressive revelation of what the wisdom that he was.
Yeah.
In other words, he wasn't being wise to prove he was wise. He was wise because he was just slowly, progressively, in humility, through the Spirit's power, uncovering the wisdom that was his as divine. Because when we talk about wisdom, it's divine.
Yeah.
And if it's divine, it has to be a who. It can't be us. And it can't be anything else. It's got to be Jesus Christ. And when you, I like what you did when you walked through his life. You could talk about humility. You could talk about, but really you see wisdom. Mm. You see a lot of wisdom, which is why even non-Christians, especially Islam, they marvel at the wisdom of Christ.
Yeah.
They argue the miracles, but they marvel at the wisdom. And what they're marveling at is not just a man in history being wise or a prophet being wise. You're marveling at wisdom itself. You're staring wisdom in the face, personified. This is Jesus Christ incarnate. That is wisdom incarnate. The expression of the woman in Proverbs, the lady of wisdom, is fulfilled in the revelation of Jesus Christ incarnate as the man of wisdom, as all of wisdom. Because when you meet the woman in Proverbs, also wisdom is also a house. In chapter 7, there's a lot of different applications Solomon uses, but you can see he's a bit clumsy. He can't really put his hands around what wisdom is.
Yeah.
He's clumsy. He's like he's grasping at things. He's almost like John in Revelation. He's kind of using what he has in his mind and his expression to express what cannot be expressed. Only Jesus Christ comes and completes it. He says, this is wisdom. Let me show you how the different aspects of wisdom. Let me show you wisdom. Let me show you that I'm wiser than Solomon. I'm wiser than the Pharisees. I'm wiser than the soldiers. I'm wiser than the teachers. Why am I wiser than all of them? Because I'm wisdom.
Mm.
So for me, as we begin this week in wisdom, I'm excited for it because I want to have the right foundation. Often in Christianity, wisdom is pointed to as a skill, a gift from God, a work of God, and all those things are true.
Yeah.
But where does that all begin? Where does the gifts come from? Where does the work begin? Where does the skill be? It all comes from Jesus Christ. He is wisdom personified. Who is wisdom but Jesus Christ? And when you, as Christians in the New Testament, when we think about wisdom, it's always through our relationship with Jesus Christ. In the Old Testament, it's more of a relationship, but not always defined as being through Christ. But it's very clear in the New Testament that wisdom is a result of our relationship with Jesus Christ. It is definitely a who. It's kind of like the who in Romans chapter 8. The who. Who is that pronoun, a personal pronoun? It's Jesus Christ. The pronoun of our relationship with God is always Jesus Christ. And in that, wisdom is expressed. Which is why, even though in James 1, 5, and 6, if I lack wisdom, I can ask. How many times in my life am I wise that I don't even know it? Meaning I'm walking in a relationship with God by faith in the Spirit, and I'm just obeying God. And someone says, well, that was wise. Well, that's wisdom. You didn't even know it was wisdom. I just know my relationship with God, and it looks like wisdom because I'm dealing with the source of wisdom. Like, Jesus Christ didn't set out to be wise in the Gospels.
That was not his goal.
Let me just weave this parable because I want to be wise. He's walking in a relationship with his Father by the Spirit. And as he's living this life of faith by the Spirit, he's following the decisions of wisdom, the source of wisdom in his humanity. And it's being expressed in his life. And then people look at his life and say, he's wise. And I think that can happen for you and I. I think in our relationship with God, I don't necessarily have to pursue wisdom. There may be moments when I'm confused and I go to God in James 1 in different places. But I want to make sure that I get this. I get the foundation is me and Jesus Christ. Christ is the source of wisdom. I'm connected eternally with the source of wisdom. So in any moment, intentionally or unintentionally, I can be wise.
That's true. Wow. This is the Grace Hour podcast. 10 minutes. We got about 10 minutes to unpack this topic again. I keep using that word. I don't really like that word, unpack. But it's a word that's working its way into my frame of reference, apparently. I'll have to choose not to use that word.
It might be wise.
It might be wise to use that word because it is, you know, unveiling. Apocalypse really means unveiling. It's like it's, let's see, what else could we say about this? Wisdom, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Where do we start with? And I think, you know, we've been saying very much through this show that, you know, knowing God, knowing him in the reality of his person, mm-hmm. knowing him in an intimate way, this is really, just think about how, you know, that breeds or develops a sense of awe in us.
Yes. Yes. I think when I recognize I'm not just picking fruit, I've got connection to the tree. I'm not just asking God to get wise. Like we okay, I don't have any wisdom. Go get it from the tree. God's like, you're connected. You're in the tree. You're connected to the tree. So yeah, of course you got wisdom because you're connected to wisdom. So we understand about we understand how you said it best, how we are really connected to God. We have unfathomable opportunities for wisdom. Like when Christ came, they asked him in Mark chapter 1, they asked him, where did this man get these things? Which wisdom was it that was given to him? I think Mark 6:2 and Mark 1:22. Where'd he get it from? Because they didn't believe he was the source. They didn't believe he was the tree. They thought, oh, no. He's got fruit from somewhere. Show us where the tree is and we'll go get it. And Christ is like, and Luke 11 says, I am the tree. I am the one. I am wisdom. You ask. This is scary. You have not because you ask not. You won't ask of the tree, or you ask. You pray amiss in James 4:3. You ask for fruit when God wants to give you the tree. You ask for wise counsel when God says you can have complete wisdom. I can have complete wisdom. You could have complete wisdom. God says in your relationship with me, you don't just have wisdom because you ask for it. The greatest wisdom is responding to me by faith in the Spirit and obeying what I'm leading you to do, because that decision is wise. But you wouldn't ask for that. You're not asking for wisdom. You're not asking for, we don't always ask for wisdom. Honestly speaking, we don't always ask for wisdom. We assume we have it.
That's right.
And usually, inconspicuously, is wisdom from below. In James 3, but we assume that there's this special area, gray area of wisdom between wisdom from above and wisdom from below, when that's really Galatians 5:17, fellowship with the Spirit or fellowship with the flesh. When I fellowship with the flesh, no matter how intelligent it may be, how reasonable it may be, is wisdom from below. And it's me tapping into my humanity. But when I tap into the divinity that we have in God, in my place in Christ, in my position in Christ, now I'm touching wisdom from above because I'm touching wisdom.
Yeah.
When you hear from above, you know your mind starts thinking vertically, like I'm here on the earth, let me go up and get wisdom from above. You just start making those kind of geometrical thoughts, but yeah. It's not from above. It's like, it's from within.
Yeah.
It's from within. And that, it's much more accessible.
Holy Spirit.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
So let's think about this. So multitude of counselors.
Yes.
There is safety.
Uh-huh.
So let's talk these last couple of minutes just about like the wisdom of the relationship that we have in the body of Christ.
Mm.
Because if safety is found in a multitude of counselors, then I need a church.
Yes.
Because accumulated or what's the right word? Shared wisdom and acquired wisdom from other experiences creates a much greater dynamic than like, because you know, what is it? Five chase 100 and 100 put 10,000 to flight.
Right. Yes.
So church life, wisdom.
Yes. I got to have it. I think in the hierarchy of God's people, God has placed us in an atmosphere of wisdom. Because he's there. Ephesians 1:22, the fullness of God, 22:23, the fullness of God is in his body, is in his church. So if the fullness of God is in his church, then the fullness of his wisdom expressed is in his church. So I can't say I'm a Christian, but I don't belong to a church, but I have wisdom. Do you have the full expression of wisdom outside of fellowship in his church? The fullness of God that includes wisdom is found in the body of Christ. So there's wisdom for me. Why else would God say in Ephesians chapter 4 that you get raised up and trained up in the body of Christ? Why else would he say in Hebrews 10:25 that you forsake not the assembling of yourselves? Why would he always talk about this uniting with the body, with two or more? Why is he suggesting all of that? Because you have access to the fullness of wisdom. And you could by extension say, the fullness of God is the fullness of wisdom in the church of God.
Yeah. And, you know, we got to be very careful. Peter warned us about private interpretation.
Yes.
It's like the wisdom, church life, wisdom, the multitude of counselors that we found. And I think that's a pretty important word, counselors.
Yes.
Like counselors are there to help you succeed in everything you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's more than an advisor.
Yes.
A counselor is trying to take you deeper into your relationship with God.
Yes.
And I think, you know, every, you know, you're very good at this. Every Bible word has like, you know, has like a deeper, deeper meaning, and there's specific words for specific contexts. And that, you know, we need that. We need more than just ourselves.
This is not a DIY program. That's what I love about wisdom. When we hear the word, we said in closing the question, who is wisdom? That demands someone else.
Yes.
See, you can't say, when you say, what is wisdom? Then I don't need anybody. I can DIY it. I can Home Depot it. I can go to the hardware store and buy wisdom and assemble wisdom in my house. But when you say, who is wisdom? That demands another person because I am not enough. By the seven laws of truth, truth cannot come from within me. It must come from outside of me. Otherwise, it's not objective. So it's got to be outside of me, which requires that wisdom has to be outside of who I am in my humanity. It's got to be. And God, when he saves you, you can't tell me that the spirit of wisdom is going to lead you away from the place that wisdom has sent you.
Mm.
So that's why when I see someone that doesn't have a church in their life, I say to myself, you don't understand how unwise that is. And here's why. In your relationship with God, would he draw you from his people?
Hmm.
No, the Spirit will lead you to the body of Christ. Hence, that's a wise decision. So when you decide not to go, what you're saying is wisdom is not wise.
Hmm.
Wisdom is not wise. I am wiser than wisdom. And what that really is in James 3 is wisdom from below.
Wow.
I need, it's so shocking how much wisdom from below we live in when we're disconnected from the source of wisdom. Shocking.
Wow. Hmm. Well, I think we've covered a good range of this topic for the beginning of our week of shows here on the Grace Hour.
Wisdom.
And I think we've arrived at this kind of dynamic. Wisdom is a person, and the person of Christ is best revealed in the body of Christ. And so walk with the wise.
That's it.
Walk with the wise. Be in a community. Hey, it's going to be messy.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be some iron sharpening iron in there. There's going to be some things there, but believe it. And count. I read this by somebody recently. It's like you can't count the development of wisdom in hours and weeks. It's got to be years.
Yeah.
Right? So, Pastor Ronaldo Brown, I'm Pastor Steve Androlonis. We want to thank you for joining us here at the Grace Hour Show, the podcast, Ministry of Greater Grace Church in Baltimore. You can join us. We'll have a church service Wednesday coming up, 7 p.m. And also, if you want to listen to this broadcast again, it's on gracehour.org, archived. It's on Facebook, YouTube Live, and Apple, Google, Spotify, Amazon, iHeart, Audible, and Stitcher.
Wow.
I don't know what Stitcher is.
But that's a podcast.
That's a podcast of place. But really, want to thank you for making us a part of your holiday today. And wherever you are in the world, God bless you. And God bless America. Thank you, Pastor Ronaldo.
Appreciate
I'm Pastor
it.
Steve Androlonis. Thank you, Jehu Vandiver, for what do you do? Oh, the wisdom to keep us
producer
talking.
Extraordinaire.
Producer extraordinaire.
That's it.
All right. God bless everyone. This has been the Grace Hour. Join us tomorrow.